Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And our special guest is our good friend, Bill Hubbard. Bill is the president of Hubbard & Associates. And let me tell you just a little bit about him. He is has been in human resource management for over 20 years, and he's held positions in industry, government, and consulting. He's a seasoned seminar leader. He's presented numerous seminars on topics relating to human resources management and job safety. He's the author of four books in over 100 or so articles, including the book that I'm holding in my hand, The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. Bill Hubbard, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
It's good to have you back with us. And also, folks, as I mentioned in the top of the hour, Bill is a member of our Brain Trust, and he is our human resources expert, and we couldn't do without him. Bill, what's going on today?
Oh, all kinds of things. One of the key issues, actually, I was sitting in a coffee shop recently and happened to overhear a couple of employees talking, and they were kind of talking about their bosses. And one says, I have the boss from hell is what the expression that he is. I guess we can use that term on the radio. And she says, he's always screaming at us, and he's screaming about this, and he's screaming about that, and then he dumps all his work on my desk, and he takes off for a two-hour lunch, or else he goes off on the golf course. And then the other one that she's sitting with says, yeah, I know what you mean. I've got a boss that's always pushing us around and tells us to do this, and he's always giving us these inefficient, time-wasting procedures. And you know what I do when he seems like he's always just pushing and pushing and pushing, just pushing too hard. And what I do is I just work slower. I figure that'll fix him. I'm not going to just push myself as hard as he wants. And this is the reaction of these two employees talking about their bosses.
You know, that's one of the most frustrating things that a manager can experience with employees is what that woman just said, and what is called is passive aggressiveness.
Yeah.
When she says, I just slow down, that's passive aggressiveness, isn't it?
It's I don't know the clinical term, but it certainly is. It's a reaction.
But it's her way of controlling him in an aggressive way by being passive.
That's true. Yeah.
If you've ever wondered, and that's a term that I've come to know in the last few years, if you've ever wondered what's going on when you've got people that should be responding to you, they should be responding to your directions, and yet they're not. And then you might be experiencing passive aggressiveness. And the first emotion that you feel when you start experiencing this is extreme frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're experiencing that, you may have one of your employees that you're experiencing this with may have been in that coffee shop.
That could be. I think sort of the silent treatment is another version of this. Okay, I'm just going to ignore them. I'm not going to respond to what they say. I'm not going to respond to what they do. I'm just going to stick my nose in my desk or at my computer, and I'm just going to pretend they're not even there.
You make a real good point there, Bill. Whenever I have an employee, whenever I have had an employee that was leaving me, the first that wound up leaving me mm-hmm. on their own, or if I wound up having to get rid of them because for whatever reason, one of the first indicators is they quit looking me in the eye.
Good point.
That's what you were just saying.
Yeah, there's that whole concern about communication and knowing what's going to happen next, and they're going to try to avoid that and avoid that kind of confrontation. And
this has happened to me a couple of times in the last few years, where I'd go into the business and the person was not looking me in the eye, mm-hmm. and they'd say hello, but they would never look up. And it took me a while to figure out that, you know, this person wasn't doing their job, they weren't happy, or whatever it was. And it turns out they wound up leaving. I had to let them go or something. And then it turned out that for a period of a few weeks at least, they had not been doing their job. Some, you know, little telltale things that you only find after they leave.
Right. Yeah, a lot of these things happen, and they don't just happen overnight. And one issue this really comes back to is the need to maintain good communication with employees. Got to really stay in touch with them, got to give them an idea of what is expected, be open and responsive. One of the main concerns that employees really complain about is that management is unreasonable, unresponsive, and uncaring. All they're doing is they're here to push the work out. They don't care about me as a person. They don't care about the problems I have. They just drive, and employees get very upset about that and want to feel that their voice is heard. And if you don't allow that to occur, you're losing them.
That's right. And one of the things that I've learned to do in the little scenarios that I was mentioning earlier, Bill, one of the things that I've learned to do is if this were an employee that I really didn't want to leave, you know, I'd go get them and you know, stand them up and look them in the eye, hold them by the shoulders or whatever, and say, "Are you okay? You know, is something wrong? Is there, you know, I mean, sort of confront them with it a little bit, and not in an aggressive way, but in a caring way."
Right. It's important to get kind of a performance check or a little bit of feedback on how are things going. And an example that you gave, that's a good way, is are you okay, or are things going okay, or how are things on your side of the desk or your side of the office or in your part of the world as it relates to the company operations?
I was just going to say, I talk to my employees every day. I say something to every one of them every day, just about every day at least, and if they're available or if I'm available. And so it's not unusual. It would not be unusual for me to go up to them and have that kind of a conversation with them. But some managers aren't like that. Or you might have an organization that's so large that you can't do that kind of thing. And so you probably need to have a little bit of you might need a different venue. Maybe, you know, call them into your office or go take a break with them, drink a soft drink with them or something like that. Just in other words, they might not understand why you were stopping them.
It's easy to get locked into your office as a manager or an owner, dealing with all of the issues, dealing with all the problems. And one of the management styles, I guess I would say, that I've felt is a good approach is referred to as management by walking around, MBWA.
MBWA, it's a very, very effective tool. I want to talk about MBWA a little bit more when we come back. Folks, it's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Bill Hubbard is our good friend and our special guest. Stay with us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. All right, we're back. It's 24 after. We got our motor running here with Bill Hubbard.
Looking for adventure.
That's right. We're looking for adventure. Me and Mr. Excitement, Bill Hubbard. The author of the new battle over workplace privacy. We're talking about human resources issues, and the main thing we're talking about right now is how to sort of see what's going on with your employees and checking their position, whether they're happy or not, and finding out whether you've got some disgruntled employees and sort of as you say in your article, Bill, walk a mile in their shoes, or walk in their shoes, I guess.
Walk in their shoes. Exactly.
Is the way we should say it. You know, Bill, this is right now, employees sell their time to their employer.
Yes.
And in this day and time, it is a seller's market.
This is really true. And from a lot of employers are telling me these days, man, I just can't hire good people. And the good ones I got, I'm afraid of losing.
That's right. And if they do lose a good one, I mean, especially the smaller the company. But no company, big or small, can't afford to lose really good people. But the smaller the company, the more of an impact, the more of a negative impact it makes.
Yes.
Especially if you lose somebody, if you lose part of your brain trust, somebody who's been with you for a while and they know where all the stuff is.
It really is. In fact, I was at a company this last week where he's telling me, you know, I'm really concerned about protecting my key employees. What's he going to do to protect my key employees? And by protect, he means, of course, to keep them from leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to try to come up with, in part, compensation, in part, job responsibilities, in part, recognition. These are some of the things that we began to talk about as we're looking at, while trying to help him accomplish this objective, is he's got to provide a working environment that they're going to feel happy and comfortable and challenged in their position. He's also got to provide compensation for them that recognizes what their achievements are and what their value is to the firm. And he's also got to do some things that I think relate to recognition of what their contribution is. So every time we talk about recognition awards, it's not always just giving somebody money, but that's part of it, certainly. But another part of it is just being aware, or letting the employee know that you're aware of what their efforts are, what their contribution is, what their results are.
Well, you know, I want to go back to your very first comment when you joined us, Bill. You were talking about the two people in the coffee shop complaining about their boss.
Mm-hmm.
And not one time did you mention that they said, he's not paying me enough money.
That's true.
Not one time did they say, I don't have health care insurance.
Right.
That, even whether he was or not, Let's say that he wasn't paying them enough, or she. Let's say that she wasn't providing them with health care insurance. Even, you know, for whatever reason, the thing that they wanted to talk about at that moment was they were upset because of the way they were being treated.
Exactly.
Had nothing to do with money, did it?
No, it didn't. And that's really is one of the biggest key issues and key gripes that employees have. If typically, if an employee feels they're getting a fair pay, then all of these other issues really are the more important ones. I feel like I want to get some recognition by my boss. I don't want to be too pressured. I want to be able to get my work done. Don't be bothering me all the time. Let me take care of the things as I see that I need to do them.
Well, and you know, the way you get more things out of people, I mean, the way you're able to successfully put pressure on them, and sometimes we all know in business, we all have to be under pressure from time to time.
That's true.
And we all have to turn extra work out. The way to do that is to lead people, not drive them.
Right. Exactly. Are you,
and so I think a good question that for each of us to ask ourselves, Bill, is, am I a leader or am I a driver?
Good way to put it. Because if employees feel they're being pushed, they're being driven, then there's that resistance that comes up.
Well, you have to push. When you're a driver, you always have to push people. But when you're a leader, it gets easier because people will want to follow you.
There you go. Yeah.
And there are a lot of people out there, Bill, who want to be leaders, but they can't find anybody who will follow them.
Yeah.
And if you're having difficulty finding people to follow you, maybe you're being a driver and not a leader.
Good perspective. And I think our real key then is how do we assess ourselves and how do we know which way we're going with it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the key issues is to get employees involved in dealing with issues, dealing with problems, and solving the problems. Instead of just saying, well, this is what you have to do and here's the specific procedure, give the employee some latitude to come up with what they feel is the best way to do that.
Make them part of the problem-solving process.
Exactly.
Give them some ownership.
Exactly.
Yeah, and give them credit when that happens, when the success happens. Bill, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassing, the Small Business Advocate. If you've got a question for our human resources expert, Bill Hubbard, please give us a call, 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Bill Hubbard is our special guest and our good friend. Bill is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, How Far Can Management Go, What Rights Do Employees Have. And Bill, tell us how we can get your book, please.
Well, it's in the bookstores. If it's not on the shelf, they can order it. It's also at the website bookstores. I've seen it there. In fact, it's discounted at a couple of them. There's also information on my website. My website is www.hubbard.com. That's H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T. And from there, there's direct links to the publishers as well to order the book.
And if you're on my website, folks, which is smallbusinessadvocate.com, there are a lot of links to Bill and his website from mine. So check it out when you're there. Bill, one of the things that I was noticing in an article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, that here's the headline: wages rise, prices don't. And what that means, you know, what they mean is people are paying their employees more, but they're not able to raise their prices. And so employers have got to learn ways to keep good employees without negatively impacting their bottom line, because if they can't raise their prices and they've got all these disgruntled employees that they're having to throw money at because they're not happy and they're trying to throw money at them to keep them, well, now we've got a can of worms.
Yeah, we do. We really do. This is one of the areas where, I guess I would say, the pay-for-performance philosophy really can come into play and really can make itself worthwhile for you. We all advocate that, but most organizations really don't carry that through to the degree that they should. And as this other manager was telling me last week, he's got several key employees. He really wants to kind of protect their role in the company because they're critical to the success of that company. And one important element to that is to make sure that you're coming up with a good compensation plan for those people that make major contributions, to recognize that and to compensate for those kind of results. As it relates to the balance of your employee group, you still want to give everybody good, fair pay compensation levels, but you want to really focus on greater recognition, greater rewards, greater appreciation kinds of things for letting everybody know that you know that they're there, what they're doing, that they're making their efforts and their contribution.
You know, Bill, in your article, Walking in My Shoes, you talk about some things that are good leadership things to do that don't cost you anything. The most that it would cost you would be a little bit of time and maybe changing your attitude a little bit. Talk to us about some of these tools. Folks, these things that Bill's going to talk to us about are things that you can do to help your employees be happier in their job, to maybe make sure that you keep your employees. If someone offers them a 10% increase or something nominal increase in pay, or just maybe just another job without an increase in pay, maybe they won't take it if they are happier at their job. And these are some tools that I'd like for you to talk to us about those a little bit.
Okay, sure. One of the real key issues is to make sure that you're giving good, clear directions and instructions. Oftentimes there's misunderstandings that occur because of unclear directions or where there's too much of a rush of an activity or too much confusion and you rattle off something real quickly and expect that it's going to get done and maybe the employee didn't understand the full element of that direction and there may be some misunderstanding or confusion that occurs.
Well, Bill, one of the things that happens in a situation, we all know how hectic things can be in small business. Mm-hmm. And the boss has already been thinking about this thing he or she is saying to his employees. They've already been thinking about that for a long time. It's a plan that they've been developed. They go to bed thinking about it at night. They wake up thinking about it in the morning, and now they're ready to give it to their employees. And then they rapid fire this information to them, and then they run off to this other pressing matter.
Right.
And then when they come back and the employee has not done what they asked them to do, then the frustration the lack of leadership, the driving sets in.
And the boss is upset, the employee is upset, and nobody gets anything done.
Right. And hence, from after that little scenario that I just gave you, somebody goes to the coffee shop and complains as they did when you heard them.
Right.
So, folks, you got to make sure that, Bill, I don't know whether you do this or not, but sometimes I tell somebody something, maybe it's just a friend, maybe it's just somebody, some of the people that are close to me. I say something to them, and then I realize, or they remind me, that basically I started telling them, when I started talking to them, it was in the middle of my thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I was already assuming that they already knew what I was thinking.
I've heard that a number of times. Someone comes off saying something, and I'm thinking, I'm missing something here. I'm saying, wait a minute, what issue are you talking about?
Right, and they didn't realize. They were so engrossed in what they were saying, they didn't realize they hadn't said to me, given me all the full information, or I had done that. I had not given them all the information, and sometimes we do that with our employees.
That's true. Another key issue is to make sure that we've properly trained our employees. It's so easy to put somebody on the job and maybe say, well, here's what you do, and then, of course, you run off and deal with another issue, put out another fire, and next thing you know, it's the end of the day, and that employee's been struggling all day long, not really knowing what they're supposed to be doing. So it's important to make sure that they are trained properly because they're going to be much more productive much quicker if they receive that basic training at the outset.
Make sure your employees have the opportunity to be successful. Give them the maximum opportunity to be successful with good training. Well said, Bill. 39 after. Stand by, Bill. We've got to take a quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us, folks. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. All right, we're back. 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us today. I appreciate your business. Bill Hubbard is our special guest, and we're talking about how to make sure that you walk, that you know how to walk in the shoes of your employees. And so you sort of look at things from their perspective and to make sure that you don't do something stupid like lose an employee over nothing, over just because you didn't do a good job of managing them. And, you know, Bill, as we were saying, that's like the dumbest thing in the world these days. If you lose a good employee because you were just so dense and you didn't see this coming, one of the things that managers have got to do these days is you've got to stay in tune with your employees, don't you?
You really do. Because there's so many opportunities out there, it's really the employees' market these days, and they can jump ship at 25 cents an hour if they have a mind to. So it's really important that you're providing a good working environment and giving them reasonable recognition, reasonable rewards, and, of course, reasonable job expectations. And one of the things that's we tend to react to a lot of the pressures, and then we tend to just push that on to the people that are directly below us. And sometimes that's relevant, but there's other times where it's important that we spread that around or that we give them as much as they can handle and try to kind of maybe time schedule some of the activities that we're directing to the employees so that there's a reasonable amount of workflow that that they can handle and keep up, because if they feel like they're just falling behind, pretty soon they're going to give up. They're going to want to find something that's less frustrating.
One of the things, I don't know if it was you that told me this, but someone who's been on the show told me that they know someone who goes after what they call passive employees. Have you heard that term before?
Not really.
What they were talking, what they said was, they look for people who aren't looking for a job.
Okay.
These people are happy in their job, and if they're not looking, that means that they're happy, but it also means that they're doing a good job, that the people who they're working for are happy with them.
Right.
And that's how they proselyte. I mean, that's what they do. They go looking for those people, and they find them, they court them, and they hire them away.
Well, that's how a lot of executive recruiters work, because they,
yep.
If you deal with an executive recruiter, they're not going to be looking in the unemployment line to hire somebody for you. They're going to be calling actively employed individuals and finding somebody that is productive and is happy in the job, but also is willing to consider the next step up.
One of the tools that you mentioned, Bill, is consider employee concerns and complaints.
It's really important, because employees will say, well, gee, I've got a problem about this, and it's easy for sometimes for the manager to just kind of poo-poo that, or, well, we'll talk about it at the end of the day, and the end of the day never comes, or
mm-hmm.
catch me such and such time.
Or well, your annual review's coming up in 6 weeks, so why don't we talk about it then?
Yeah, and we keep pushing it off, and it just really implies that we're not concerned. And this can be a real significant problem that is really eating away at that employee. And if they don't feel that they're going to get a reasonable ear, or they're going to get some assistance or some corrective element to the situation, they're going to be really upset.
Another good example is
tools that don't work.
One of the things, Bill, I was going to mention is that the what we have here, let's walk in both of the shoes of these individuals.
Right.
The owner of the company is worried about making payroll.
Yeah.
She just had a setback with a customer, and maybe the lease is up and on the building. Who knows what all might be going on? But this employee that has come up to her and said, I have something that I'm concerned about. Will you talk to me about it? That is the only thing on that person's mind, and it is driving them nuts.
Right.
They've got to get it off their chest. And if you minimize that, and if you don't give them a moment of your time, then you know that's one of the things that I try to never do, is when an employee, regardless of what else is going on, if an employee wants to talk to me, I'll sit down on a box right there with them and talk to them about it. If that's what they want to do, I always say, do you want to do it now, or when do you want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask when do you want to do it, that's when you'll find out how urgent it is.
Right.
Because they'll say, I want to do it now. Or if you say when you put it back in their court, so to speak, knock the ball back in their court and say, when do you want to do it? Then they will say, oh, well, anytime, or, you know, next week or tomorrow or whatever. And that's immediately how you can find out how urgent it is.
Gives a good sense of their priority. If it's real urgent, they're going to want to deal with it now. If they recognize you're busy and see that it can wait a little bit, you're right. It kind of puts them in the driver's seat, but it also lets you know that you still need to get back to them within that time period.
But it lets them know that you're ready to talk, and it sort of diffuses, it might diffuse the situation for a little bit.
It is true. One of the things when I give workshops on communication, it's a very basic thing, it's probably very silly, but one of the things I tell managers is you get two ears and one mouth. So that should be the proportion within
right.
which you listen and within which you speak.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what's next?
Oh, let's see. Next key issue on our tops was make sure that you're organized. One of the problems that they get from particularly feedback from employers is, well, the boss changes this, the boss changes that. He doesn't know what he's doing. First he says this, then he says that. And there are oftentimes situations where literally the boss is not that well organized. The boss is reacting too much to different situations rather than planning and organizing and controlling some of the issues.
And that creates a lack of respect, and you can't be a leader. People won't follow you if they don't respect you.
That's true. That's really true. And if you're coming up with, well, I told you this, but now I'm telling you that, and it's the complete opposite, and it's something that the employee can readily see, well, why didn't you anticipate that?
Mm-hmm.
You're losing that respect.
And also, don't forget to remember what they told you the last time, because they remember it.
Yep.
All right, it's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Bill Hubbard is our special guest and our good friend. We'll be right back. Stay with us, please. We're back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Bill Hubbard is our special guest. Bill, one of the things that we've been talking about is trying to understand, or the main thing I should say we've been talking about is trying to understand how our employees feel and everything. And you know, one of the main things we've been talking about is maybe our management style is making our employees unhappy. We might lose our employees, but there's another problem here that we haven't talked about. I want to make sure we mention, and that is while your employee is becoming unhappy, and while you are trying to find all this out, could be potentially happening over a period of years. I've seen it happen where things like this, kind of a bad attitude, an employee had a bad attitude for maybe as long as years. Well, that's also filtering over into the way they treat your customers.
Exactly.
And you may be doing something worse than losing a good employee may be happening. You may be losing good customers.
They can be driving them away. I know I've walked into enterprises and they're just not treated that well by an employee, and I'm taking my business someplace else. I'm not going to come back here.
That's right.
It very clearly affects how you're perceived, how your whole business is perceived.
Right.
So one of the key things for a boss to do is to, as we said, be organized, communicate fairly, and it's also important to set your own priorities and communicate and direct those priorities to employees so they know what needs to be done. One organization I'm familiar with, it seems like the employees tell me the boss feels everything's a priority. Well, unfortunately, everything can't be a priority.
Right.
There's got to be one.
You can't cry wolf all the time, can you?
Yeah, exactly. One or two key things that need to be done. The employee basically, well, they may keep a lot of balls up on going in the air, so to speak. They can only actually do one thing at a time, and it's important to remember that. One other thought then is to really try to spread the work around to all the employees. It's easy to just say, well, here's so-and-so, well, here's give it to Mary. She's a real hard worker. And then you've got somebody else who it seems like when you bring something over to them, oh, I can't do this, I've got this to do, or I'm too busy. And we tend to avoid what I call a squeaky wheel and give work to the silent hard worker. And it's really important that we spread all of our work tasks around so that everybody does their fair share in the organization.
One of the things that I have observed before is a good employee leaving a company, And as they were leaving, when they said, I'm leaving, I'm quitting, here's my notice, when someone said, why are you leaving, they said, well, because I'm having to do all the work and I just got tired of it.
Yeah.
And there was no way to redeem that. I mean, the person was gone, and it was the first time the employer knew that was happening.
Mm-hmm. And then they probably had to hire two people to replace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there's no question about it.
It's really important to get that feedback from the employees. And of course, one way, and I'm going to come back to about three or four of our shows in the past, good performance appraisal discussions, structure that process and give you an opportunity to do that at least once a year. And it's certainly actually another part of that process is what I call daily performance feedback. There should be that really regular day-to-day interaction with employees. And it's not just get the work out, but rather how are things going? Have you got the supplies that you need? Have our materials coming in? And just kind of a good sense of what's happening as well as getting some of the activities out as well.
MBWA, Management by Walking Around. Bill, that's got to be the last word. As always, you did a great job. Thank you for joining us today. We'll look forward to seeing you next month.
Great.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bill Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen, the author of the new battle over workplace privacy, a book I recommend to you. You need it on your desk if you have any employees at all. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, your Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Sinsperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.